Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Hey.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Hoops and Hebevisons podcast. I'm Alex.
And I'm Ruben.
And today we have TJ on. How are you doing, TJ?
I am there.
I mean, I know life as a Kings fan is hard.
I mean, I'm healthy. That's
yeah.
That's are always you good.
You're healthily drinking?
Is my liver healthy? We'll ask that question. Probably not. Not at least right now. But... Yeah, I'm good. The cushion is a nice fall, so whatever.
Man, I mean, legitimately, though, how has this season been for you as a Kings fan?
Well, you all know that basically every season has been shit for the past, past decade?
Yeah, like 10, 12 years now?
Yeah, but... This year, we actually, before the season started, we went in with hope. We were, you know, we had the young core. We had everything going for us. And then at the end of last season, it's just when everything fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
When the coach was fired, when Jaeger was fired.
And which made no sense.
No, absolutely not.
No, that was a weird firing.
So. And then they brought in Luke Walton. Without even interviewing him.
And then all the drama happened.
All the drama happened with Walton. And, I mean, even leaving that aside, just based off the way he performed in Los Angeles and mm-hmm. how a lot of the different players and Magic Johnson spoke about him, it was concerning.
Yeah.
So,
you know it's bad when LeBron James gives up on your team.
Exactly.
Because that dude never gives up.
No. And it's the Lakers. I mean, it boggled my mind. And I mean, I understand how he did so well in Golden State as assistant coach and what he did there. But I agree with Magic Johnson that he was just not ready. And he still isn't ready to be a head coach. And his actions are showing it at this point. So... We were still kind of thinking that hopefully we were wrong about Walton and that mm-hmm. he would work out in Sacramento, but the first five games, when they dropped the first five games in the regular season, it was just basically, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And we've tried to be optimistic, but all the injuries, watching everybody just completely fall, watching him screw up lineup after lineup,
Having him ruin the pace and space of the team.
Yes.
Which is so weird.
A team that we used to be insanely quick when it came to pace. Now we were slowing down. And on some levels it worked. But most of the time, no, it didn't.
Yeah.
And when we were quick, we were entertaining. We were at least entertaining to watch, even if we were losing. Now it's just... I mean, I get bored watching.
Oh,
and
man.
It sucks. This is my team that I loved, and it breaks my heart year after year, but this one the knife just went a little bit further this year. And
yeah, because I feel like last year, up until the very end, there was a lot of promise on the Kings. It was like a team that was scrappy and nearly made the playoffs up until the last month of the season. You know, everything looked pretty good. And then they fired Jaeger for no reason. And I don't know. I just don't get it.
Our head coach situation has been abysmal past few years. I mean, it was especially after Mike Malone was fired. After it was looking like it was going to be one of our best seasons ever.
Mm-hmm.
DeMarcus Cousins gets meningitis.
Oh, which, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
he got meningitis. We were on a winning streak. He got meningitis. And then we started losing games because DeMarcus Cousins was out doctors were trying to save his life. And it was like a lot of fans didn't understand what meningitis actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting pissed off. And then the front office just went and fired Malone, the coach he got along so well with.
The whole reason he left is because of that.
Yes. Crazy.
And that whole thing was insane, yeah.
When that happened, it was kind of foreshadowing what was going to happen down the line when it came to the head coach situation. It was just brutal. I still am not over that when they let him go and then brought on George Karl.
God, and George Karl was a fucking disaster.
Oh, God, it was a fucking dumpster fire.
What's worse, Karl or Luke Walton?
Oh, you know what? That's... Can I choose death?
I think so.
I mean, if you want, you know.
Like a screwdriver going slowly in my eye and a dull pencil going in my other eye. I'd rather that.
They have to be the two worst coaches in Kings history, right?
Yes. Yes. I want to say, just because I'm probably saying this because it's, you know, it's more current, but Walton, especially. Yeah. When it comes to, you know, the background issues came to Walton.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So I'm going to have to choose him over Karl, but man, that's painful.
It is. I mean, I feel bad. It's like, I feel like being a Kings fan is similar to being a Rangers fan.
Oh. But yeah. at least you went to the World Series.
And then fucking shit our pants.
Yes!
Against the Giants of all teams.
Okay, well, no. You guys didn't have a chance against the Giants.
That's completely fair.
You had but I'm a saying, chance against the Cardinals.
Yeah, but everything that happened afterwards is dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel bad for you guys.
Yeah. But the thing is that, like, I feel like the Rangers GM is actually not that bad, but he has shit owners.
Yeah. So, again, no one can be as bad at this point or comparable. Well, in football, who would you compare the Kings to? Or the Knicks? Like,
well, the
what
Knicks,
would be the football equivalent?
The football equivalent of the Knicks is the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, God.
That's actually, I think we've... Someone mentioned this on Twitter once.
Yeah,
so I was like,
because
damn, that's a take.
Here's my thing. The Cowboys, year in and year out, are better than the Knicks are. But... Yeah.
Expectations.
But when you factor in fan expectations and the fact that the issues of the Cowboys stem from their owner, the issues for the Knicks stem from their owner, and meddling and everything like that, and the fact that the Cowboys and the Knicks both have fan bases that make them the most popular teams in their respective sports, and therefore nothing will ever change.
True.
And then you also factor in the fact that I think both teams have like the most valuation in their respective sport.
That's what I'm saying. Like, well, the most popular team to their owners is the ones that make the most money.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask both of you this as Rangers and Cowboys fans.
I'm not a Cowboys fan, but...
He doesn't like football. American football.
Let's pretend that you do. All right, fine. Uh-huh. Who torches you more, the Cowboys or the Rangers?
I have no expectations for the Rangers, so
really?
Like, no, like I want Joey Gallo to do well, and everything else. I'm just like, the Rangers torch me every single fucking off season.
Yeah, because it really is. Like, during the season,
it's like,
here we go.
The Rangers are like planned powder times a million.
Oh, God.
It's all right, guys, let's keep our powder dry. Let's go get this one guy. And there's no cap space in the MLB, so they could go get that guy. That guy wanted to go there. It's every offseason.
Okay,
but this one especially, this one especially stung because it was like
it was like four different guys.
Yeah, it was bad. But
okay, so when it comes to the Cowboys, whichever one of you likes the Cowboys, like, what is your expectations going into like different seasons? Like, what was your expectation going into this past season?
Okay, so I guess I'll answer this one since I actually watched the Cowboys this year. I would say I definitely expect us to make the playoffs, especially after like the first like 4 weeks or whatever, 4 or 5 weeks. And I was like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, like, Kellen Moore's figured this shit out. Like, Jason Garrett's letting him fucking run the plays and all that, call the plays and shit like that. I was like, hell yeah. And then like shit just like hit the fan. It was like, oh, like, if we go 8-8, it's like a fucking miracle at this point. And yeah, they burned me real bad because I remember, especially on Twitter, like, because again, like, a lot of people who like follow the Mavs also follow the Cowboys. So I was like, okay, cool, like, I'll be able to like tweet dumb shit like during like on Sundays, you know, like, oh, like, who would be the best, you know, football player on the Mavs or whatever, shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then by like week like what, 10 or 11, I was like, nah, fuck this, like, I'm out.
Yeah, because I remember my family over here are diehard Cowboy fans. They were just in the beginning of the season, it was like with Dak and everything, it was looking really good. And then the thing is, though, I really like Kellen Moore. Like, when I saw him in college, I loved him on the field. And I have never been more wrong about a quarterback going into the pros. So I was happy when he was given the position on the Cowboys. And I agree, it was looking, he was finding his footing and everything. But yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened there with you guys. But it seems to happen every year, so you should be used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it happens to you too, so.
Okay, you know what? I gave up on my team when they put in Tannehill. I mean, fucking seriously.
Oh, Tannehill? Man, this year was nice, though. Like, you know, like,
oh my God.
You guys made the playoffs? Like,
no one was expecting what they did in the postseason. No one. I mean, if you would have went to Vegas and put money down for the Titans beating the Patriots.
Like at the beginning of the season or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
They would have looked at you like you were fucking out of your mind. And then to go on and beat the Ravens, it just, my heart has officially been just like chipped away because of this season.
Has Tom Brady said he's coming back yet?
Did that stupid Hulu commercial during the Super Bowl. Did you see that?
Oh, was that that? Oh, that was a joke.
It was basically him.
It was a joke.
Saying, yeah, it was a joke, but everyone took that as he's not retiring this year. Yeah. Are you freaking kidding me? I swear he's not going to retire this year after the Titans bent him over a chair. He doesn't want to go out that way.
I'm just saying that that'd be hilarious.
That'd be hilarious. Is he now like 52?
He's like 61?
He's like maybe 80. I don't know.
Yeah, in football years, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, he's ancient.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's not retiring. And then I think my publisher, Fish, dropped a report. It wasn't even a report. I think I skimmed through it. Fish is going to kill me for saying that. But it was asking, would you rather have Tom Brady or Dak leading the Cowboys? I was like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was like, ah, oh, Fish, what? And I don't know what it was based off of some report. Again, I only skimmed it, and Fish is going to murder me for, like, saying that.
Oh, well, man. Fish, if you're listening.
Don't kill me, please. I like having a call-in with you. Don't hurt
me. Don't kill me, please.
Don't punish me. Don't make me write cowboy stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be bad.
I couldn't imagine having to write cowboy stuff. That would be torture.
In an alternate universe, that's what we're doing. Like, this is an off-season pod for some reason. Like,
I mean, it's kind of an off-season pod because there's not a lot to talk about. like, since we last recorded, there's been one game, and there's going to be another one, and then it's, you know, the All-Star break, so.
Yeah.
And I'm busy all weekend anyway.
Yeah, we're all busy all weekend.
I've been so, like, wrapped up in both King shit and then coming to the Mavs and with all the injuries going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited.
Rest in peace, Ryan Brokoff.
Yeah, I'm still very sad about that.
Why don't you talk about that?
I don't know what to say. I'm so sad. Other than your star players, Ryan Brokoff was the fan favorite, at least on Twitter.
He was.
You know, it's just weird because, like, the first time I ever heard the news, I was in Mexico, actually, and had, like, no service. And, like, someone, like, DMs me, like, an article about Ryan, and I was like, okay, it's a random-ass Australian guy playing in Russia. Cool. Like, you know, like, whatever. He might be good. He might get some minutes, you know, with this brand-new staff, basically. And looking at it, I was like, okay, like, it seems like he has some crazy numbers in Europe.
50% from three.
Which is crazy. Yeah. he was a
40% free throw shooter here in the NBA, which is still ridiculous.
Let's see, Ryan Brokoff. I'm looking it up right now. I did this a long time ago, too.
Stats.
Let me see, Ryan Brokoff. Oh my god, what the fuck? Okay, cookie policy, thank you. Let me see. Went fucking 58 from out of 123 from three.
Yeah.
From in the 2016 season. God damn. Like 47.2%.
It's just making it worse for you now.
I always thought he wasn't getting a lot of minutes anyway. But, like, you know, just like. Because when I looked it up the other day, I was like, oh shit, he averaged like 10 minutes with us a game. And I was like, that's impressive. Because it seems like you're never in the game, buddy. So.
But every time he did come into the game, like, you would see Mav's Twitter just go nuts.
Yeah, it was great. Him and Bobby were like my guy this season, like, or have been this season, you know, just like guys that I love a lot and guys that, like, I want to see succeed, blah, blah. And it's funny because Willie's becoming that for me, too.
What? So, what?
Willie's becoming one of those guys for me where it's
Willie Cauley-Stein? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
Fuck yeah, here we go. I baited her.
Yeah, you baited me with
it. And you took it.
Yeah, I fall in those kind of traps. Shut up. Okay. please explain to me why that is. Why he's becoming a favorite for you at this point.
Honestly, dude, and a lot of it is, like, it's so trivial, but, like, social media presence, which I guess a lot of players are more like that now. Like, even, like, Kuzma or whoever, like, they have really good social media presence, and it just, like, makes them seem, like,
so personality-wise.
Yeah.
That's understandable. He does have a great presence, and he's charismatic.
Like, I want to invite him so bad to go to the Dallas, you know, Museum of Arts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, and just, like, hang out with them and be like, hey, bro, let's go get some gelato.
Yeah, he would blow you away that you cut. I cut myself off at the wrong time there.
He will blow you.
Yeah.
TJ.
Hey.
I'm getting that on your headline.
Yes, we know you're in. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
He will blow you away with his intellect, especially when it comes to art.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's great. He's always been that charismatic person who you get him talking about that kind of stuff, and he's in his element suddenly. What always worried me is him as a player is it almost seemed like when he would start talking about basketball,
mm-hmm.
It would almost felt like he was talking about something that was a job and not a passion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that there were some reporters that would interview him when he was in Sacramento, and that was a primary concern of theirs. And then they'd see it reflected on the court with, you know, inconsistencies. Especially when it came to defense and protecting the rim and things like that. So, in my mind, it was funny when he when the Mavs got him, my phone blew up because Twitter, like King's Twitter, just took it as an opportunity to drag me.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
For like two straight hours. Because they knew it was coming too. They would, like, one of my friends, I remember one of my friends who was a follower and I follow him. It was like 9 hours before he said, watch, Dallas is going to get Willie Cauley-Stein because, you know, Powell's out now. So I was like, whatever. And I went out to dinner. It was like the day after my birthday. I went out to dinner with my parents. And all of a sudden, my phone started blowing up. I was at dinner, and I just started cussing up a fucking storm. And my dad was so fucking embarrassed. He was like, yelling at me in Spanish to knock it off.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, that's how you know you fucked up.
And, like, I was like, no, you do not understand what just happened. Like, my world just cracked down the middle. And, you know, I want him to succeed. I want to be wrong about him. And, like, usually when I go on podcasts and I talk about him now, I want to be wrong. I want to see him succeed here. I definitely want to see him succeed with the Mavs. I want to see him, you know, actually give a shit about playing defense, actually raise his arms, yeah, maybe to block something. Because there's been times where I saw him where, especially when it was in Sacramento, where he'd be completely asleep during the first quarter of the game or so and not do shit on defense. He would just stand there, and it was infuriating. So, like, I see spurt of, you know, his talent coming through here,
mm-hmm,
but then he goes dead again. Yeah. And it's funny because I'll log into Twitter and I, like, see regular Mavs Twitter just either loving on him, which I still think is strange, mm-hmm, or just pissed off as fuck. And I mean, you know, you're very familiar with the people I'm probably talking about.
Yes.
Who get really mad. Yeah.
Well, they get mad. There are certain people that get mad no matter what happens.
Are we talking about the grumps of Mavs, yeah, Twitter?
Which is fine. Like, you know, that's...
I'm going to be quiet for this.
I mean, no, there's nothing wrong with it.
No. I mean, the grumps on Mavs Twitter are some of my favorite people.
And they're also some of the most insightful people. Like,
yes.
They're just also grumpy, which is fine. Yeah.
They just have to be grumpy. And then when they're drinking wine, it becomes worse. They become wine grumpy.
Yeah. And we all know wine grumpy.
Yes. But it also cracks me up, too, because on this level, on the Willie Cauley-Stein level, I feel on a personal level being a Kings fan.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I had no expectations of him coming in, really. Like, I just wanted him to be a warm body for a big man, and he's done pretty well, I would say. Like,
as a warm body,
I would say he's done fairly well as like a middle of the rotation to end of rotation type dude. Like, yeah, he has his moments of being a spark plug, and then he also has his moments of being entirely frustrating. Hello, Dwight Powell.
And when he's frustrating, I've noticed, you know, Rick pulling him real quick, you know?
Well, Rick doesn't tolerate that shit. That's what worried me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Especially stuff I was hearing before he played his first game, how, like, Carlisle was giving him, he had took him in for a session or something, I was giving him a rundown. I was like, a rundown on what?
Yeah.
Defense, are we talking? I was like, it had to
be defense. And the Mavericks don't make play. Like, they don't have a playbook, really.
Exactly. And Carlisle is, he doesn't tolerate that shit. I mean, we've seen him when it comes to butting heads with players, how angry and how visibly frustrated, exactly, how visibly frustrated he gets. So, right off the bat, I was worried that him and Willie Cauley-Stein were going to clash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still hoping I'm wrong there, and
I don't think they will, as long as Willie Cauley-Stein can prove that he gives a shit at all. Because he allows mental lapses as long as it's like you're showing that you care. Like, look at, I almost said Jaren Jackson, Justin Jackson.
Oh, yes.
Like, Justin Jackson's kind of an idiot on the court sometimes, but he cares and he tries really hard.
Yeah, he does.
He does. And welcome to a King's world.
Yeah.
They're both. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I think that was the joke, is that the Mavericks are King South with Luka.
Yeah, exactly. I saw that and I was so true.
Oh, man.
It's so sad.
And now we have Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Oh, yeah.
And I have no idea how to feel about him.
Neither do I.
I'm just sad Ryan's gone. Like,
yeah.
You're gonna sit there and dwell on
him being gone. And I absolutely am. Like, there goes half my fucking memes on my phone. So there's that.
Okay, then obviously you need to clean out your phone anyway. It's time.
I probably do. Yeah.
But okay, so he comes in and, you know, Luka comes back. I'm actually really curious to see. I'm curious and also terrified as a Kings fan tomorrow. Coming back, Luka coming back. Because Mavs at home have been a tire fire.
Yeah. Which is funny that our version of a tire fire is a 500 team at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does actually feel weird to say that right now, but yeah. It's... I mean, come on. What the fuck?
Compared to the road performance, it's a tire fire.
Yes. It honestly seems like they're allergic to something at the American Airlines Center.
The lower bowl.
I mean, Tim Cato said that maybe it's haunted, and I really want to see a investigative journalism done.
I want to see...
Sony's let's bring in one of those freaking, ID people. In order to... I don't know what...
How many millions of dollars did Mark Cuban give away over the last 20 years of owning the Mavericks to say that he's at a stadium at capacity? I want to see him, like, actually just sell lower bowl tickets for, like, $5. And let...
Like, one night only?
Yeah, like, one night only. Just to, like, show that the people that are cheap as fuck are also the most passionate fans.
Yeah, exactly! Oh, no, I agree with that.
I think it's also because, like, you know... Like, our one of the people on our staff, Grant, he goes to almost every single game. Because he's like, oh, it's like $10-$15.
Up in the nosebleed section.
Up in the nosebleeds. So he would rather spend, you know, $500 a season to park in... I'm just using that as an example. We'll say $300. $300 season.
It'll be about $500.
Okay. $500 a season to sit in the nosebleeds for... you know, 41 games, as compared to spending $500 and getting to sit in the lower bowl 2 to 3 times.
Yeah, maybe 3 times. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, depending on the game. Yeah.
And so those people that are sitting in the lower bowl, you would think that they'd be even more excited, because that's probably going to be the only game that they go to that year. But no. They're just like, meh, whatever.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing, but like, obviously, I've never been to other, you know, other stadiums, so I have no idea.
I'm sure it's the same everywhere. It's just...
You know, I'm sure. Like, I was talking to Squish, our other guy, Squish Dick Nowitzki on Twitter. You know, because he used to live
in Brooklyn. In New York,
so he'd go to the Garden and go to game. Went to a few games there, and he was like, that stadium fucking sucks. he's like, it's really? Not that exciting, dude. He's like, oh. The walls are old, like, everything's old and cramped, so, like, it sucks. And I was like, well, okay, I know what I'm not going to go do when I go to New York.
So. Yeah. He said that the big thing is that, like, in the lower bowl, or, I'm sorry, not in the lower bowl, in the nosebleeds, like, there are actual seats that are just behind pillars.
Which is
crazy. Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I guess it makes sense. And they sell them.
The
people will sit there and realize they're literally there's
nothing to see.
Yes. I think there was, I can't remember if it was one in the Golden One Center, which was just recently built in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of my friends sent me a picture that there was the chair was like adjacent to a pillar and it was facing it or something, and I was like, what the fuck, we just built this fucking stadium.
Yeah.
Seriously.
For bad fans.
Yeah.
Hey. Gus in that shit.
If there's one thing that I can say about the American Airlines Center, it's that the seating there is fantastic. Like, even the nosebleeds are good.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
I'm a reporter and I'm in the nosebleeds. I'm in the hockey press box. And yes. That's way up there at the very top. I'm in the freaking.
I've waved at you before.
Pillars.
Yeah. We've all waved at you before.
I probably have tried to spill something on you if you're too loud. Or threatened to. I can't that actually do that. Me. I get kicked out.
Yeah. That'd be hilarious. Probably. You could whoever's say it was an accident.
Like, okay, whoever's getting like pizza with Parmesan cheese that smells like feet, yeah, it's I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, definitely not me.
I usually don't get food at the AAC. So.
Yeah, the food at the AAC, that is another downside of the American Airlines Center. The food there is fucking terrible.
Yeah,
the only person that likes it is Nerlens Noel.
Oh, the hot dog. No, I believe Steph Curry said that
the
they
popcorn.
Had the best popcorn. Yes. I haven't tried it, though.
But, I mean...
So I can't really say
I'm glad
about
that, you know, Stephen Curry, elite athlete, likes their popcorn. Can I eat something other than that?
Hey, he went out of his way to go, like, sample all the popcorn in the different arenas, so you got to give him a little props there.
Yeah, he like
that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, what would you rather have? Mediocre food, like you do at the American Airlines Center, or Rangers grotesque food?
Like the massive
12-foot-long
hot dogs with, like, Onion City or whatever the hell it is on there that makes
food that
like
costs like
puke.
$50 and looks terrible and I hate it.
Okay, can we instead of rating the food, let's rate the drinks. How about like I do like the fact that I believe the Rangers still do like dollar beer night or something?
I don't know if the Rangers do. I know the Rough Riders
Frisco.
Do.
Yeah, Frisco does. I know that.
And so do the Legends.
I've been to a few of those before. It's great.
Okay, but the Rangers. Downside is I have to drive all the way out to Frisco to get a
I only done it twice. Now I was like, this is enough. Like,
I thought the Rangers did it at one point too.
They might. They might like they a couple times a year. I know they do dollar hot dog nights.
Yeah, that
Wednesdays.
Is
yeah.
And I mean that's good, but you know I've had their hot dogs, but. Yeah. Wait, what was the question? What better food at the AAC?
You said better drinks. You said you want to change it to drinks.
Oh, yeah, I went to drinks. Yeah.
Because you're TJ.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pisses me off, I'm sorry, I'm going to bitch about this because it's Texas. So if I go to, like, the Golden One Center, the press box is right near a bar cart.
Okay.
And we're allowed to take hard liquor to the press box. Now, in Texas, I can't go out of a certain area to drink, like, say, hot vodka or tequila or any of that. I have to stick with wine or beer. What the fuck? I think I'm done with that.
It's a, it's a stadium thing in Texas.
I'll DM Mark Cuban, see what's up.
Yeah, I don't know.
But no, I mean, they, like, I never knew that... Before I moved here, I mean, my family, my mom's side of the family lives here, and I've been coming here since I was a kid, but it didn't actually hit me that it was dry. There are certain dry counties.
Mm-hmm. Oh, blue laws are the worst. Like,
what the dry fuck? Counties?
Yeah, the fact that you can't buy a bottle of liquor at Walmart, like...
Yes.
Or like dry cities or whatever dishes.
I went from a state who would sell hard liquor at, like, the drugstore. To a state where they, A, refuse to sell you hard liquor on Sundays, and then, B, you can't buy beer or wine on Sundays until afternoon.
Yep.
Yeah, I figured out the hard way when I was in college. I was like, wait, you can't buy beer? Like,
what?
Yeah.
Like, I remember that. I was like, I had just turned 21.
Or,
I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Or if you go to a restaurant and get it before noon, then you have to have food at your table.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yep.
Oh, shit, because every...
No, on Sundays.
On Sundays, yeah.
Well, no, there were certain places that I would go to in Arlington, but they were also run by, like, family friends and stuff.
Mm.
But, because we'd always order you know, hard liquor with brunch.
Yeah.
Like screwdrivers or, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. Sea breezes. And I never knew that. That we had to have food at our table.
Yeah, so like...
Does it count if they bring, like, bread?
Yes. So, okay. Like, a lot of restaurants will just bring, like, chips and salsa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, like, a bar mix.
Wow.
Yeah.
Texas sucks
with respect to that.
I'm going to get a lot of Texans pissed off at me for this, but what the fuck?
No, like...
Seriously?
No, I think most Texans are...
Ruben and I talked for a long time. Like, we would bitch slash, like, campaign for beer to go to happen because in Texas you couldn't take...
Yeah, yes.
You couldn't take beer home with you from a brewery.
What?
Yeah.
Like, literally...
Up
like,
until literally September of last year.
Yeah. Like, last year, like, last, I think, like, April or whatever, like, I called my representative and was like, hey, like... This is a really important issue to me.
Yep. Please tell me you drunk dialed your representative.
No.
Oh, come on. No.
I called my representative quite a few times as well.
Yeah.
It's a missed opportunity, not drunk and dial a representative.
Oh my god.
I'm very disappointed.
Well, my representative follows me all on Twitter, so that's pretty cool. But...
Oh god, oh dear lord. I do not want that for me.
You,
well, that's good.
You don't want John Cornyn following you on Twitter? You should drunk dial John Cornyn and record it.
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be good. That'd be good.
Oh my god. Oh man. Okay. Do we have any expectations for the All-Star game?
I mean, the format is so weird. Like,
yes.
I'm still trying to get through. I'm still trying to like figure it out. Like I've had it explained to me like five different times. And I just feel like
a different team wins the first three quarters and the fourth.
Yeah, and then the last one like wins the entire thing. And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't. It's going to be interesting to watch, but I still, I've had a bunch of my friends going, "Oh, it's so easy." I'm like, "Go fuck yourself."
I get it.
No,
like,
it's not.
It's not easy. I get kind of why they did it because they wanted to get more opportunities for both charities to win money.
Yeah.
I think what they should have done has just had it to where the winning team's charity gets a certain amount and the losing team's charity gets another amount.
Yeah, it would be way easier to understand, at least from a fan's perspective.
Yeah, or first and second half. Like,
yeah.
They made it too complicated. Like, if you had done, like, a first half is one thing, second half is another thing, that would have made sense.
Yeah.
Each quarter was its own thing, that would have made sense. But then, it's like, each quarter it's its own game, except for the fourth quarter, which is all three quarters combined, plus 21 with no shot clock. Or 24 with no shot clock.
Yeah, I don't... No,
there's a shot clock, there's no game clock, sorry. Whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, like, just in general, like, the whole All-Star thing, like, All-Star Weekend's gonna be fun this year, I don't know. I say that every year. And, like... I don't know how to feel about the slam dunk contest. Like, the actual game itself, though, on Sunday.
Yeah.
We'll be getting drunk, probably.
Oh, well, yeah.
I won't, but...
You're not going?
I have Girl Scout cookies to sell.
Sell them at the thing, dude!
Are you kidding me?
I'm not going with my daughter to Pluckers.
Okay, I don't see the... What's wrong here?
Find me. Like,
I would go with my daughter to Pluckers. I'm not going to Pluckers with my daughter with 50 strangers.
Well,
but they all strangers. Are they really strangers though?
Well, half of them are.
I'm just hanging out with
you. You know how many cookies you would sell there?
Like, that's true.
Especially to drunk people. Are you kidding me?
We'll see.
Yeah, You were supposed to be doing that actually. Remember?
Oh yeah, they said no.
Oh, they did? Damn. You gotta work there, then.
No. So, I was gonna have Julianne sell cookies at Petticola's. Petticola's was cool with it, but the Girl Scouts said no.
Oh, they said no? Oh, you should have done it without them knowing, bro.
That's like getting kicked out of the Girl Scouts type shit.
How would they find
seriously?
Out?
Yeah.
Oh, they'll find out. I mean,
yeah.
Kind of big brotherish. My niece is in them, and oh dear God,
they are very big brother.
What if you give me some of them and I sell them?
What'd you say, Ruben?
What if you give me some of them and I sell them?
I left a an order form there last Friday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and I'm gonna go pick it up next Friday.
That's a good good kind of middle of the way. So
yep,
Yeah, damn, that's sad though. It hurts. I thought they were gonna let you do it. Damn it. Okay.
No, it's okay. We're going to a retirement home with 200 residents on Sunday. So.
Oh, that's cute. Okay.
Oh, good for her, but fun for you. That's sarcasm.
Yeah, we'll be there for 4 hours.
Oh, good lord. Well.
Yeah.
It's a good life experience.
Oh, we've been selling cookies all month, so.
Oh, God.
Which I may need to make another order, actually.
Okay.
I'll let you know, though.
Cool. Yeah, my niece is doing the same thing right now, and oh my god, I get my sister is constantly, hey, you want to buy some more? No, you son of a bitch!
Yeah. Julianne's trying to sell 1,000 boxes, so.
God. It's like, what? She sells 1,000 boxes, and she gets what? Like, a freaking badge?
Well, yeah. She also gets prizes.
I know, but what are the prizes? Because I was looking at my niece's
account. They're the same.
And it was...
Oh,
okay. That's not even much. If you sell 1,000 boxes, like get half the profits or something. I don't know.
They get like 55 cents a box. That's pretty terrible.
Son of a.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And those girls, their asses off. They sell their asses off. Like I'm sorry. I'm not going to get up early and go door to door like my niece does. And like she's 7 years old and she does it with her mm-hmm. mom. And I'm like. Yeah, you won't catch me dead doing that shit. They need to get more out of it for themselves. I mean, that's probably a selfish thing to say, but that's why I never did Girl Scouts. Also, I never liked getting up or talking to people, so yeah, that's why I never did it.
Now, if you like talking to people, as long as we get you drunk.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
but then like I couldn't do that.
You couldn't do that. Yeah. Years old. No, I get it. Yeah, my daughter's 5 and she's kicking ass, but you know.
Yeah, that's just also because she's freaking adorable.
Yeah.
And I cannot, if I am approached by a Girl Scout selling cookies, I have to buy them. Even if I'm not, like, eating carbs or whatever. And it's an attack, it really
hey,
is.
Hey, they're it's too- okay. Remember that, that Thin Mints are vegan, so...
Fuck up.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Okay, vegan is fine, but they still have carbohydrates.
Okay, fine. You can have the Toffee-tastics, and those are gluten-free.
Okay, now you sound like my fucking sister right now.
So when do you stop selling?
At the end of February.
Okay, cool. Lent starts on the 26th. Got it. Cool.
Doing the math around. Oh my god!
He's like, "When's my next paycheck?"
No, I'm thinking Lent, bro. I'm thinking Lent when I can.
Oh, start okay.
Not eating carbs.
Oh my gosh! Really?
All right.
I don't ever like. I'm not Catholic, but sorry, mom.
But you're doing Lent. Wait, you are Mexican and you're not Catholic?
I did all my sacraments and everything, and I was like, I don't.
I'm Mexican. I'm not Catholic, but I do literally every Mexican Catholic event throughout the year.
Yeah, I do that too.
No, okay. I'm talking about you, Ruben.
Oh, me? Yes. I do. Like, I'm just like, well, it's more like a family thing.
I know.
Okay. Well, okay, that's
you're like a cultural Catholic.
That's, I guess, yeah, I guess. I mean.
Oh my god, that's my dad. Like,
yeah, like, I don't really, I never go to church. Like, you know, like.
Does any Mexican Catholic go to church?
Actually, dude.
Yeah, I know.
No, but during Ash Wednesday, if you don't go, fuck.
You're dead.
Yeah, my mom.
At least have to do Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, my mom torrented me for that, and I was for not going last year, and I was like, I forgot that it was like
you were hungover. It's okay.
It's like, how can you forget? You're walking around. If you look at certain Catholics, they have the smudge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I remember like that day. Like, I went to work and like. I saw, like, one of my coworkers was, like, with the ash or whatever on his head, and I was like, oh, whoops.
Too late now.
Forgot that was today.
Or you're just so drunk, you're like, dude, just wash your fucking face, man.
No, I'm not getting drunk on a full night, man. Like, that's not happening. Though I might do that for next Monday, because the kids have off, and I still have to go to work, I think. So, we'll see.
All right,
oh,
guys.
That's right, because it's President's Day.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this shit up.
Okay.
We've done
seriously
so.
We went from basketball to fucking Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah. I love the podcast.
We went from basketball.
That is a new level.
We went from basketball to Girl Scout cookies to Ash Wednesday and sacraments.
Yeah. Man, that description's gonna be fucking weird.
All right.
Wow.
TJ, thank you so much for coming on and bullshitting with us for 45 minutes.
Four, but Tim's a coward, so.
That's right. I thought he was going to be on here.
Yeah, I was trying to.
He's a bartender in California, which means he's at work.
Yeah, he's probably at work. And just
wait,
like,
where?
Thousand Oaks,
California.
Thousand Oaks.
Ew, gross. Never mind. He's a bartender in the suburbs, in the like Los Angeles suburb. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Whatever.
He's not your ex. Don't worry.
No, my ex is a bartender in D.C.
Same difference. Terrible cities, both of them.
Yes, we'll go there. Hey, yeah, no, L.A. sucks. I'm allowed to say that. D.C. is just fucked.
All right. Well, with that, I think that's going to wrap up this episode. Again, TJ, thank you for coming on and bullshitting with us.
Every time you come on, it's a treat.
It is. It really is. We got to not wait 10 months to have you on again.
Yeah,
this is true,
like in
yes.
a couple months.
Yeah,
maybe a couple weeks.
I'll pester you guys and please make sure you have me on. I pester you guys anyway all the time.
That's true, and we pester you back.
Yeah.
There's no love lost here. No.
All right. Well, until next week, guys. We'll see you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.